Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on listener questions when we come back. Hey, how many laws did Moses give us in the Mosaic Code, and how many laws has our state and federal government given us in our secular government? Well, Moses gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, and the state at last count has given us 2.5 million. Now, Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men in Acts 5, verse 29. Congress said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and societies. And our Supreme Court has said that there is a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. Now, every authority is in agreement. The Congress, the Supreme Court, and God Almighty Himself all agree that the Scriptures are the final authority on law in this country. Now, if you'd like to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights, it's a right, it's a duty, it's an obligation that we owe to ourselves, our families, and to our society. Now, here at the law school, we teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments along with the penalties for the violation of these laws, and we do that twice a year in the spring and in the fall. Now, why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise this year? You know, the First Amendment is the gateway to the Second and to all of your Bill of Rights. The law of God may be old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives and very relevant to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study, and if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember now that that's on our webpage, and you can download it right off of the webpage, right off the Internet. But if you're listening on radio somewhere, you know, around the world, and you don't have a computer, then go ahead and call us direct. The number's 417-273-4967. Just ask for it, and we'll send one to you. All right, we're talking about listener questions. People write us every day. We get about 30 a day, my guess would be. And needless to say that my wife and I and our boy, we answer most of this mail that comes through here, but a lot of these requests, a lot of these are time consumers, or as we call it here in the trade, time wasters. Time waster. Now, for you, you know, each individual person, you can sit there at your keyboard and you can whip out an email and send me an email and ask me a bunch of questions, you know, about the law and expect that I'm going to sit down and I'm going to type this out and respond to you. And then a lot of people, they want to respond back and they want to get a dialogue going and one thing and another. Hell, I don't have time for that. So I might as well just tell you right up front that if you can get me to answer you, you'd be doing a big job there. which is why I thought I'd take a little time here this week and answer a lot of these questions that are pretty general, you know, and many people ask the same question over and over and over again. So it's very logical for you to send me a letter and ask me a question like this. Does George sell a CD on law and marriage contracts? And if so, how much is it and how do I order it? Thank you, Shelley. Now that makes all the sense in the world, Shelley, and I don't begrudge you sending me an email and asking the question. The answer is yes, we do. It's in our school called Family Law. Now, we don't sell lessons out of our schools one at a time. It is true, from time to time, when I've answered a letter, a question, or something like that, I have gone to a particular lesson, and I have photocopied a page and then put it in the mail. You know, I do that once in a while. But that's rare. It's not very common. The other day, I made this offer. I said, look, there's 19 health laws in the Bible. 19. Now, I cover all 19 of those health laws in our Mosaic Law School, and I said, if you'll send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope on that one issue, I will photocopy those 19 spots. I got them written down on a sheet of paper, 19. I'll just walk over there, photocopy it, stick it in your envelope, and drop it back in the mail to you. But when people write me a letter and they want to know the answer to a particular legal question, I could answer that, but I'm not going to. Not going to for a couple of reasons. First of all, I don't have the time, but secondly, it's a disservice to you because you don't get the whole story. Now, let me show you what happens here on this one. Does George sell a CD on law and marriage contracts? Now, law and marriage contracts, those are called prenuptial agreements. A prenuptial agreement. If you just want a prenuptial agreement, why don't you just go down to your local lawyer and say, hey, listen, I need a prenuptial agreement. I'm getting married, and here's what the story is. And he'll guide you through the process, be cheaper, and that's all you want. Now, we recommend prenuptial agreements because we teach a very unique program here, which deals with patriarchal marriage. Now, the average Joe Sixpack wants to get a marriage license and bring in a three-party limited general partnership between the state, the boy, and the girl. And I'm not opposed to that. I'm fully familiar with civil law marriages. And hell, I had one time, got a divorce, civil law divorce. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody, and I hope it never happens to me again, but, you know, got to learn. But there are three different kinds of marriage here. And so I'm going to take a minute here, and I'm going to show you why it is that I don't want to just give you a part of the story. I want to sell you the whole Family Law School. And you're sitting there saying, but I don't want to spend that kind of money or take that kind of time to learn that whole thing. I just want a prenuptial contract. Hey, listen, let me save you some money. Just go down to any lawyer on Main Street, go to the Yellow Pages. Any lawyer in America can write you a prenuptial agreement. And you don't need to know anything about patriarchal marriage, common law marriage, or civil law marriage. Just go down and have a lawyer sign up. It's like going into a McDonald's, drive up to the window, make your order, drive up, pay your money, and drive out. I mean, if that's what you want. But I don't want to sell that. This is a law school. We're not here playing games. People that come here, we want to give the whole story to, so that you can make an intelligent and an informed decision, because I'm not really sure that a marriage contract is what you want or what you need here. So let me show you how this works. Now, civil law marriage is a three-party limited general partnership, and it involves the boy, the girl, and the state. It is an agreement or a contract by, for, among, and between these three parties as evidenced by the marriage license. That's the Joe Sixpack Everyday Garden Variety Marriage Hell, everybody's had one of those. Now, there's another type of marriage that's fairly uncommon. You can get it in Texas, for instance. It's called a common law marriage. A common law marriage is a two-party contract between the boy and the girl. There may be a written instrument, but it isn't necessary. The marriage is done by agreement and penetration. Many states recognize common law marriage, common law property, and common law children by the birth certificate of the parties, and there's very little difference between a civil law marriage and a common law marriage in most instances. There are some subtle differences, but not much. Now here's one, the patriarchal marriage. This one's really, really, really a wild off the wall one here. A patriarchal marriage is a contract between the boy and the girl's father. The girl is not involved in this marriage contract at all. That's why I said this is pretty wild and off the wall. So for this lady, this is Shelley now. She writes me a letter and she says, now I want you to send me one of these CDs on law and marriage contracts. Shelley, I'd be doing you a big disservice here. Because we teach a family law school here, and it's got about 50-some lessons on it, 50 things that you need to know here about marriage. And I don't want to send you just one. I don't want to tell you 1/50th of the story and then have you go out here and screw it up and then say, well, I learned it from George Gordon. No, you didn't. That's the problem. You didn't learn anything from me. And I'm not here to sell CDs. I'm not here for the purposes of selling Patriot packets. You know, you need to go to the Patriot packet store and go buy those for yourself, but not here. Now, a patriarchal marriage then is a contract between the boy and the girl's father. The girl is the object of the transaction. Just like selling a cow. We don't contract with the cow. The cow is the object of the transaction. The girl in a patriarchal marriage is not a contracting party. She's the chattel that's being transacted. It's like buying a cow, a dog, or something else. Now, right away, you're sitting there, Shelley, saying, oh my God, these people are animals. I don't write these laws, Shelley. I didn't make this up. I'm just here as an instructor instructing you that there's three kinds of marriage. You're not going to learn this in college. You're not going to learn this in law school. You lawyers out there, they're never going to tell you anything about patriarchal marriage. You've got to get that out of the Bible. So I'm here to report on all three and how they work and why they work that way. Then I say to my students, now why don't you decide for yourself what you want to do? I'm not here to sell one over the other. I don't care what you people do. I just care that you have the information so that you can make a choice out of three potential marriages here. You can choose one. Now, I would recommend that you have some kind of a prenuptial agreement in any one of these three forms. I don't deny that. But I don't want to sit here and just give you one lesson out of my school and then have you go out here and then make a transaction. Because every time you make a legal transaction, there's going to be an outcome that comes from it. Now, going on here with this patriarchal marriage here, a patriarchal marriage is a contract between the boy and the girl's father. The father gives the girl to the boy in a public ceremony, and he transfers his liability to the boy. Liability. See, a female is a liability, not an asset. It's a liability. The male is an asset. The female is a liability. See, when you're dealing with electricity, you have a positive and you have a negative. When you're dealing in business, you have profit and you have loss. In the physical world, there's up and there's down. On a coin, there's heads and tails. And you need to understand that, you know, there's liabilities and there's assets. In Hebrew law, a female must be taken care of from the cradle to the grave. It's just a principle of Hebrew law. All you girls out there, sit back and relax. You're going to be taken care of. The law requires it. So you have to be taken care of from the cradle to the grave, and there is a legal regimen to accomplish that end. Now, the contract in a patriarchal marriage terminates upon consummation. There's a termination of the contract. Whereas a civil law marriage continues to operate so long as there's a marriage, and so does the common law marriage. But in a patriarchal marriage, we have a termination. Now, see, I think you need to know and understand a little bit more about marriage and how it works. Have you ever heard of a bride price? Have you ever heard of a dowry? Have you heard of the three benefits that accrue to females under the marriage law? See, there's more to this than meets the eyeball. And so a lot of times people, they'll want to know this specific thingy about taxes or this specific thingy about business or so on and so on. Well, first of all, it takes time for me to go get that out. And then after I go dig it out and I send it to you, more than likely I don't get paid for it. Now, we have some specials. I mean, there have been some questions that have come up over the years, you know, like the draft, you know. And so I did a series of CDs. We get a CD here that we send out on gold and silver. And there are some special topics that I have covered in detail. And then we sell those separately. But there's a rare, and I think they're all posted on our webpage. So there's the answer to that. Yes, it's in our family law school. Yeah, there's a thing called the marriage contract. You should be familiar with it. It's called a prenuptial contract. And then you should be fully familiar with patriarchal, common, and civil law marriages. And that comes in our school. All right, so with that out of the way, let's take on number 10 here. Greetings, Gordon family. I first heard George on the radio in Austin, Texas. In 2007, this past winter, I started listening to you again on the internet here in Omaha, and you made me buy an MP3 player so I could listen in the car, and while out walking, I turned 50 this year, so you're challenging me with all this kid stuff technology in order to stay tuned. I'd like to listen to your general law package, please. You obviously have my email address. Now, this is sent by Jeff. Now, Jeff, you've got... You can send me an email. You can download our general law CD package. Now, he sent this on 7-2 of 09. Now, I got some that went back to April. And after my boy got sick and we were in the hospital there so long and I got so far behind there, we put these out on the internet, remember? Now, he says, I hope you don't mind the attachment that I've sent you. I've listened to all of your programs in regard to the corporate state and their army of social ladies. This story is just too ironic. And lastly, thank you very much. And he signed it, Jeff. Now, oftentimes people will send me attachments, send me an email or a letter, and they'll send stuff in it. I welcome that, and that's fine, and thank you very much. Now, oftentimes people will send me a follow-up, and then they'll say, well, did you read this or that? And what's your answer? And then they kind of get put off because I didn't write them an answer back, or I didn't say, well, thank you very much for that inclusion on social ladies, and here's what I think about it, and blah, blah, blah. When you send me an attachment, I may or may not read it. And if I read it, that's fine, and I'll probably throw it away. Most of them I do. Once in a while, I'll put it on my pile. Sometimes there's something really good, and I'll include it in my schools, or I'll include it in some of my stories or programs. I do that oftentimes from what people send me. So I'm not discouraging you from sending me stuff. What I'm suggesting is that when you send it to me, don't get mad at me when I don't answer and praise you for sending that to me and thank you very much and I'm going to put it on the air because I might or I might not. It's just the sheer volume of what comes through here. First of all, my boy, to give you a little fill-in, my boy goes up on the internet. He unloads Spiker and Mila and the International Forecaster and the Money Changer and four or five other newsletters, and I digest all of that every day. And what comes out once a week, once a month, hell, Kitco.com, sometimes I'll read 10 or 15 reports. So, as I read those, much of that isn't worth repeating. Some of it's not verifiable. What we can verify, I say, hey, Dirk, verify these. Give me another source. Let's see if this is true or not. Sometimes it's urban legend, you know. And we try our best here to make sure that when we say something that it's true, it's accurate and correct. Remember, I tell you that every day. So what we're putting on here is true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And then a guy wrote me a letter here the other day, and he said, your story on SEAC's fault. No, it wasn't. And then his response was true, accurate, and correct as far as it went. But I read the SEAC book, and I'm familiar with the 1937 Act of the Canadian Parliament. Now, that doesn't mean that the Canadian Parliament hasn't acted in the last year or two, and there's something that I don't know. I'm not suggesting that. But when I put it out, by God, you can take it to the bank now. Once in a while, now we screw up. I got to tell you, it does happen. And I've had egg on my face more than once, but it's not very often. Not very often. So feel free to send me those attachments. I appreciate that. And I thank you for them. I just didn't want you to get upset with me here because I don't respond or send you. Sometimes people say, how come you didn't send that back to me? When you send it, you ain't never getting it back. Just bank on it. If you send me something, I'm not sending it back to you. I'm not keeping track of your name, your address, your phone number, or anything else. And I may or may not respond to it. And I probably won't. Probably won't. And I don't say that because, you know, I'm very important. I never thought of myself as being all that important. But I did want to tell you that I get about 30 of these a day. That's 150 a week. Now, we read them all. So far, we're able to read all this. You know, three of us here, we're plowing through it. And a lot of it's just tripe. And I got to tell you people out there, a lot of what comes in here is just nonsense. And we have to wade through that. It's like spam coming in on your computer. And I just did not get any spam, but you know, if I didn't get the spam, I wouldn't get the good stuff either. All right, now here's another one here. It says, now I've sure enjoyed listening to your Law Hour recordings over the past several months and always look forward to new episodes. Thank you for waking me up to the Ten Commandments system. I have been attempting to be more faithful in following them. And I'd like to request your General Law CD package. Okay, well, Vic, I appreciate your letter. Now, I want to comment on this because I get a lot of people comment and say, boy, I'm sure glad I heard about the Ten Commandments. This Ten Commandment thing over here, that's not my idea. And I wish I could take credit for that I was so smart that I figured this thing out. I didn't. I was raised as a communist. I practiced communism until I was 37 years old. I went to the public school, and I had 28 credit cards in one pocket. So I'm pretty familiar with the whole program and how it works. Now, I was introduced to the Ten Commandments, and I didn't like it at all. And I rejected it for years and years. And then one day, just out of curiosity, I thought, well, now that I've been practicing communism all these years, maybe this Ten Commandment model might have some benefit. And so I tested it, and sure enough, it does. Now, just for your information here, for everybody out there, now, there's 133 of these laws. The Ten Commandments are not all of it. There are 10 of them. You know, that's 10 parts of it. But there's 133 parts to this law. And then there are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. But some of them are repeated over and over again. So when you tally them out, there's actually 133 different subjects. Like adultery is one subject and theft is another. But theft has a number of subjects that come under the theft commandment, such as unjust weights and balances, which leads us into Federal Reserve notes and gold and silver coin and Article 1, Section 10 of our Constitution, and on it goes. Now, there are 24 capital felonies, and there's 28 overall penalties. So God doesn't just kill everybody. A lot of times people write me a letter and say, my God, that God just kills everybody. No, he doesn't. No. But there are 24 crimes out of these 133 subject matters. 24 of those are capital felonies, like Sabbath breaking is a capital felony. That'll get you killed. That's more serious than a parking meter violation. And then there's 28 penalties overall. See, sometimes when you get a punishment, it'll be a fine. No, the judge, sometimes he puts you in jail. Sometimes he gives you a fine. Sometimes he gives you both. Okay, well, God does the same thing. He has a number of different penalties, like an eye for an eye, wound for wound, stripe for stripe, life for life. Okay, there's some examples. And sometimes you get fined. You know, you got to pay a penalty, like 50 shekels of silver for a tearing off a little off the neighbor girl, you know, in the back of your Chevy van, things like that. So there's 28 penalties, 24 capital felonies, or 28 penalties, 24 capital felonies, 759 statutes, 133 laws. Now here's the kicker for you, Vic. In Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, a good understanding of all they who do his commandments. So the better you practice this law, the better your understanding of the law becomes, the better you're able to perform on it, and the better you're able to perform on it, the more money you're going to make. This is a carrot and stick approach. This Ten Commandment model makes a lot of money. Makes a lot of money. That's what attracted me to it. It is just dynamite for making money. All right, so that'll tell you that part of that story. Now, number 12 over here. We're in number 12. This guy, who wrote this? Richard wrote this. He said, first, I freely admit that I haven't listened to all of your radio shows. Okay, that's good. Last time I took a look here at how many radio shows I've put out, I'm going to flip over here because up to the present time, I have put out, see if I can get my number here. Well, shucks, where are we here? Here we are. The last batch that we put out here was 4,052. 4,052 one-hour programs that I've put out here since 1999. I've been on here 10 years. Now, I don't know how many of these programs are still up and on the Internet, but somebody told me the other day that there was still more than 1,000 of them. 1,000. And I wouldn't doubt that. So you got plenty of material out there. All right, so that's number one. In fact, I've only listened to the 7 hours on the redemption straw man method. He says, in fact, I've only listened to 7 hours. Okay. So, Richard, you haven't listened to very much. You haven't seen very much yet. So there's a lot more out there for you. Now, during these shows, you mentioned that you're no longer a U.S. citizen and are, in fact, an Israeli citizen. Okay. That's not true, Rich. I never said to you that I was an Israeli citizen, and I deny it. I never claimed it, and I never said it. And you're assuming facts, not in evidence. But that's common. It happens all the time. So don't feel bad about that. Then you go on to say, well, can you give specific information about this process? And the answer is, yes, I can. Now, does that mean that I'm going to write you an email and explain that to you? And the answer is, no, I'm not. And that's because this whole thing here called citizenship, ambassadors, and rescission of contract and expatriation is explained in detail in my tax and status school. And as I just said in the last letter, I am not going to go to those three or four lessons and cop those out and then get into some long dialogue with you back and forth through the email. It's not just not going to do it. If you want to learn this, this is a law school. What you do is you come to the tax and status school, and yeah, we're going to teach you how to do this. But we're not going to teach you how to become an Israeli citizen. I don't teach that, and I'm not opposed to it. I'm not saying to you you ought not to become an Egyptian citizen, or a German citizen, or an Israeli citizen. But I'm not recommending that. No, it's a choice that you make in life, and if that's what you want to do, why don't you come to law school, learn what the law is, then make an intelligent decision, and then if that's what you want to do, this is the way you do it. Now, specifically, the steps you took to renounce your U.S. citizenship and rescind your Social Security contract. All right, that Social Security rescission is in Chapter 37 of our Tax and Status School, which is called Rescission of Contract. And yes, I can teach you how to do that. We do it every day, every day, every day. Now, as I understand it, you must first leave the United States before you can renounce your U.S. citizenship. Well, that may be the way you understand it. It's not true, but that may be your understanding of it. And you said, I get this from, and then you cite this straightdope.com, go about renouncing my U.S. citizenship, which states there is no procedure for renouncing your citizenship while still physically present in the United States. That's not true. There is. In fact, there are seven ways to do that. Seven ways, and it's under Title 8, in the section 1481, I believe. 1481 or 1483. And it's Title 8. Seven ways to expatriate your citizenship. Now, let me ask you, first of all, why in the hell do you want to expatriate your citizenship? Just let me ask you, who in his right mind would want to do that? Now, if you can come up with a logical, intelligent reason why, then maybe you're a candidate for renouncing your U.S. citizenship. About 600,000 Americans a year do that, and I'm one of those 600,000 who every year change their citizenship, which is a natural right that you have. It's not a civil right, it's a natural, inalienable right. Now, once you do that, you do not have a right to patriate to Canada, Australia, or someplace else. That patriation is something that's done by permission. So before you expatriate your U.S. citizenship, don't you think you should go to Israel and ask those good folks over there if they're going to let you patriate to Israel? See, I don't know if they will or not. I didn't ask them because that isn't what I wanted to do. That is not what I advocate. It's not what we teach here at the law school at all. And no, I'm not going to take little snippets out of a 46-lesson program and then sell you some $75 packet. That's not doing you any favors, and it takes more time than I want to spend on it. Now, did you travel to Israel to become an Israeli citizen? The answer is no, I didn't. Never been to Israel. Or was there some other process you undertook? Yes, there is some other process that I undertook. I have read the Straight Dope column literally for decades, and although Cecil Adams, I don't know Cecil, probably a nice guy, occasionally makes mistakes, for the most part his answers are correct. I'm sure they are. Just like the good fellow from Canada I reported on who said, hey Gordon, you made a mistake on this ESSIAC. And I said to him, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. But he didn't make a mistake either. He's just talking about a different form of Essiac than I am. There's Essiac out there. There's the real stuff, and then there's counterfeit. And he's out buying the counterfeit crap that's sold over the counter, which isn't what I'm advocating at all. And that's one of the problems. See, deception is one of the problems that you have to work your way through. That's one of the things that we start off here in every school. We start off with, well, here's what's commonly believed, and here's what the truth is, and here's why the truth is what we say it is, and here's where you find this out, and here's the way that works. Okay, now, Cecil's probably a nice guy, and he's probably reporting on something. I don't know what he's reporting on, so I'm not going to comment on what Cecil is reporting on here, but I find it difficult to believe that Cecil could be wrong about this. Hell, maybe he isn't wrong. Maybe he's right. So I'm not here to argue with Cecil or you or anybody else. I'm just here to answer your question. And what happens is I get a lot of these letters. I get a lot of letters that come along. And you want me to tell you the answers to some of these questions. Well, we do in our schools, but, you know, if you get 30 letters a day and 10 letters a day ask for specific information, that's 50 a week. Now, you know, I'm a pretty fast writer, and I'm a pretty crafty guy here, but I can't answer 50 of you people a week and teach school and do 7 hours of radio programs and research on those. See, when I do a one-hour radio program, I got an hour invested in that just researching it out before I ever turn the microphone on. I do 7 hours a week, so I got to do 14 hours a week. Then my boy upstairs, he's pulling this information together, and I bet you he spends an hour a day doing that. So every hour's program here takes 3 man-hours of time. Boys and girls, let me tell you, there just ain't enough hours in the week here to get all this done. Now, if I could, and if I had a bunch of hot and cold running secretaries over here, and they sit there at their desks, and then we could pass these letters out and answer these, you know, we'd probably do that. So just so that you know that we don't have the time, effort, or energy, or the inclination to do that, and we do that in our schools. We answer every one of these in our schools. And that's what we sell, that's what we promote, that's what keeps us on the air. And I suspect a lot of people would like me to give them the answer. Just give me the answer to this one portion so I don't have to buy the whole school. And I don't blame you for doing that, but I'm not going to do it. If you want it, you buy the school. If you don't want it, pass. That's all. Pass. Go to Cecil and ask Cecil. If this information is already on your website, please provide a link to it. Otherwise, it'd be nice if this were a fact on your website. No, we're not going to publish facts concerning our schools on the website. I know it would be nice, but, you know, that's the way we support ourselves. It would be nice if the college professors at Harvard would put all the information on the internet so that you don't need to go to Harvard to get the information. I don't deny it. But then what in the hell would Harvard have to sell if they put it all out there free on the internet? Come on, kids, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. All right, with that, I got to give you a reminder here. God, I'm over time again. See what happens when you're having fun. Then I turned around and lost my paper. Here we go. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967 and asking for it. And once more, that's 417-273-4967. Just ask us for one. Now, if you're online, you have a computer, you're online, you can download that CD package, the General Law CD package, by going to our archives. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, that doesn't mean that the author or the publication that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are answering questions that listeners pose to us on practically a daily basis. A lot of times we get a lot of calls here from people who are locked up in jail. And a lot of you prisoners, you know, will call us here, and you want us to get you out of prison. The bottom line to that is we do not have any program for getting you out of prison. What we do have here is a law school for the purposes of training you how to stay out of jail, and had you gone to our law school before you were convicted, you probably could have stayed out of jail. But now that you're in jail, we don't have any way to get you out. It's not impossible. It does happen, but it's rare, very rare. Your best bet would be to get your outside man to come to school here to the law school. Now, 15% of you prisoners locked up in jail today are innocent, 15%. And I would like to get all 15% of you out. The other 85% of you guys belong right where you're at. You deserve to be there. You need to stay right where you're at. 15% of you guys are innocent. Now, there are modalities for doing something for you. They're called extraordinary remedies. Extraordinary remedies, 47 of those. Writ of certiorari is one. Writ of habeas corpus is one. Quo warranto, writ of mandamus, and writ of prohibition. Those are the five basic extraordinary remedies. Now, there's 47 of them total. If you take your outside man and send him here to law school, now, your outside man, armed with the information that you need to reopen your case with an extraordinary remedy, might be able to put together a winning reversal on your conviction. But you guys that are locked up in the prison right now, there's no way for me to communicate with you. You're in a guardian ward relationship with the prison. They're not going to let this material into the prison, and you people don't have any way to pay for it. And then I don't have the resources to to even take on the project. Now, once in a while, 60 Minutes or 2020 or somebody like that in the news media, there are organizations, there are pro bono attorneys that take on cases. And I just saw the piece the other day, 37 prisoners, Texas, I believe it was, 37 prisoners in Texas have been exonerated by DNA evidence of rape convictions. Most of you guys are convicted on these rape convictions, and DNA has some value. If you were convicted on some other charge and DNA is not a part of your reversal strategy, there are ways to reopen your case and to get your appeal. It's called a writ of certiorari to an appellate court. It is tough. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, this is something easy. I mean, it's nigh on impossible. It isn't quite impossible. 37 guys in Texas have been exonerated. One guy after 22 years. I say that's good, and I'm happy to do that. Now, if there's some way I can help you, I will. But writing me letters and asking me to help you get out of jail and telling me your hard luck story about how you were wrongfully convicted and so on, son, you're wasting your time and mine. We're not here for that. There isn't any way I can help you with that. So let me repeat. You take your outside man, whoever that is, mother, father, brother, friend, Joe. If that person who's free now can come to school, the school you want is courtroom strategy and procedure. There's 28 things you need to know. 28 things. And for those of you who aren't in jail yet, if you knew those 28 things, you know, you might be able to keep yourself out of jail. And that's because you can stay out of more trouble than you can get out of. But most often people will write here to the law school when they're going to trial in 5 days. You know, we're pretty crafty people, but you know, I'm not God. I can't work miracles. I can't walk on water. I can't produce that kind of miracle. Now, if you can get here before you're charged with a crime, or after you're charged with a crime, but you get here, you know, before you're going to trial, sometime, you know, prior to the end of discovery, you know, so that we've got something that we can work with and something that we can go in and prove you're innocent with, you know, maybe we've got a chance. But oftentimes you just wait till the last minute until there's no other hope. A lot of times they'll call after they're convicted, after they're sentenced and they're going to go to prison in about 3 weeks. They say, well, Mr. Gordon, I paid my lawyer and I don't have any money left. And I've tried everything that there is to try, and I've failed at everything. And so here we are. You're the last hope I've got, and I want you to do it for me free. And please get on it as soon as possible, because I'm going to prison in 3 weeks. I mean, you people have your heads up your hind ends writing me a letter like that. And that's just where reality is located. And it reminds me of these people with cancer. You know, they go to the allopathic medical doctor and they go through chemotherapy and radiation. They go through operations. They cut off their breasts and all of their lymph system. And then when they're on their deathbed in hospice, they say, well, now we're willing to give herbs and God a chance. I mean, come on, people, let's wake up here. That didn't work in the past, ain't working now, and ain't likely to work in the future. But now, if you get after this thing early on, there might be something we can do. And once in a while, there is a guy that will write here and say, you know, I was convicted of this, that, or another thing, and I didn't do that, and I need some help. I wish I had a program here to help you, but I don't. I mean, I just got to tell you, we don't. That's the end of that argument. Now it says, Dear Jackie, my spouse spoke with Mr. Gordon about sending some materials by way of email, or by way of mail, rather, regarding your classes some time ago. I've been eagerly awaiting them, but they haven't arrived. And I'd be very interested in attending the classes in late summer and early fall, and especially in working on the farm to help me learn about the organic gardening and animal husbandry. And then she goes on, she gets some more here to say it's irrelevant. Well, this working on the farm here, I answered here a day or two ago. I'm not opposed to doing that. I don't mind taking somebody that when they come to class here, say you come in here to school. When you come to the $100,000 class or subsistence and survival, we'll take you down here to our raised beds. We'll take you out to the barn. I'll show you our cows and show you our pastures and our program and our processes. And I'll even let you sit down, milk a cow, drink some raw milk if you're game, and so on. And perfectly willing to do that. And we do that oftentimes as a part and parcel of the program. We not only teach it, but we also practice it here. And it's good to learn how to actually put it into practice, so I don't begrudge you that. But oftentimes people want to work their school off. And you're not gonna come here and work after school for 3 hours and pay your tuition. That isn't going to happen. Sometimes people, when we tell them what the price is, they just gasp. I mean, we're not running kindergarten here, This isn't. We're not running church here. This isn't for the faint of heart. This is a serious, balls-out program with an objective at the end. And if you can qualify and fit in, fine. And if you can't, let it pass. No hard feelings. Our radio programs are free of charge and cost you anything. I've had people listening to me for years, and they say, well, that's great. I don't want to go to your school, but I like listening to your program. That's fine. Nothing about that. That's any problem with me. Now, this lady here, feel free, ma'am, if you want to come to school here. Now, you sent me an email, so you can download the information from our general law CD. You don't get the personal attention that you got when I sent it to you. See? When you send me an email, I send you the general law CD. I can follow that up with a phone call. Now that I put it on the internet, I cannot solicit your patronage. You have to call me. Now, that's the downside of it, and that's why for many years I resisted putting that on the internet. But it simply got to the point here where we can no longer give the kind of personal attention that we have given in the past. Our operation has grown beyond that. This program is now heard in 123 countries around the world, and we receive letters from people every day from around the world. And all those people, they have questions too, mainly about, well, will this work in Singapore? Does this program, the Ten Commandments, does it work in South Korea or Brazil? And the answer is, yep, it does. The Ten Commandment model works in China, Russia, North Korea, every place on planet Earth. The creator of the universe owns North Korea, too. So just, for all you people out there who didn't know that. And Leviticus 25:23 says, the land shall not be sold forever because the land is mine. Now, I understand that there's a regime up there in North Korea that thinks that piece of real estate belongs to them, but there's a contested issue of fact as to who owns that piece of real estate. And I think in the final analysis, the creator owns it. Now, Kim Il-sung can whistle Dixie in a straw cup if he wants to, but I suspect that that's the way that's going to come down. Now, most of you people out there do not practice the Ten Commandment model. You're practicing the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto. And as long as you practice that, you're going to have the kind of results that you get in communist countries worldwide, which includes the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Great Britain. We're practicing communists here in America just like you are in China. I know that's really obnoxious to a lot of people, but that's the way life is. Life is just filled with obnoxious truths. So for this lady here, what was her name? Roberta, I guess it is. R-O-B-R-A-T. Yeah, Roberta. Here it is. She's got her name on there. Well, Roberta, you're welcome to come to school here. So if you want to give us a call, why don't you go ahead and do that, and we'll be happy to sign you up. And yes, you can work out in our garden, and we will do everything we can to teach you how to use this program and make money from it. See if I got time for another one. Yeah, I got about 5 minutes here. He says here, I'm very interested in obtaining your general law CD package and also to get a schedule of classes and fees for the remainder of the 2009 year. And I'm also wondering if you have any support groups in the area of Miami-Dade County. No, we don't. I'm asked that constantly. Is there anybody here in Albuquerque, New Mexico that I can talk to? Is there anybody up here in Canada that I can talk to? No, not that I know of. So when you call here, I'm not going to give you my mailing list. I'm not going to send you names and addresses of people that live in Alberta or British Columbia or any place else. Sometimes what I'll do, if you live in Vancouver, I will call somebody in Vancouver and say, well, why don't you call this guy? He needs somebody to talk to that's interested in what we're doing. And oftentimes I'll hook somebody up with somebody, you know, out there. But primarily the reason that I don't want to recommend this and I don't have these support groups is that I can't control them. And then they get off to teaching all kinds of crazy nonsense. And I had a school out in Boise, Idaho, and one day I came out here to Missouri. And I got a call from a student who said, do you know what that Bob Hallstrom is doing out there at Boise? And I said, no, tell me. Well, he had hooked up with a guy named Danny Hashimoto, and they were selling a fraudulent tax scheme. So I got up from here, and I went out to Boise, and I said, Bob, wake up. We can't sell these fraudulent tax schemes. And he told me about how much money there was to be made. And I said, Bob. See where my problem is? I can't keep track of all these guys out here. They claim to represent me, and then they represent themselves. And then they're trying to fatten themselves off of your wallet in my name. I don't want that. So that's why I don't support any of these support groups out there, you know. What I work at here is teaching you how to lead yourself. So when you come to school here, we're going to start off by saying, has it ever occurred to you that you want to become medically competent so that you don't have to have a medical doctor for a guardian? Would you like to become legally competent so that you don't have to have a lawyer to act as your guardian? I know these are wild concepts. And then pretty soon you don't need any support group. Now, I live here in a little town called Isabella, Missouri. I don't have any support group here. What the hell do I need them for? I don't need to call some guy up on the telephone and cry on his shoulder and tell him about how bad my local sheriff is or the prosecutor, Tom Klein, is. I'm not complaining about Tom. I'm not complaining about the sheriff. I'm not complaining about the IRS or the EPA or anybody else. And so, no, we don't have any of these support groups, and the reason for it is I can't control them, and they're filled with liars and frauds and fraudulent, self-seeking jerks that want to rip you off, and I don't need to participate in that, and I don't. Hey, I'm out of time again here, kids, so I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.